This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
Well, a year ago, former Packers safety Leroy Butler reached the Hall of Fame's list of semifinalists for the first time, and we put him on the show. Now, 1 year later, he's back on the ballot as a second-time semifinalist, and he's agreed to join us again. And Leroy, here's hoping you go farther than you did last year. Thanks again for joining us.
Well, I appreciate it, because you have to think about when you're in Wisconsin, you don't necessarily have the platform sometimes to talk to different voters or fans. So it's an honor to be on the show with you guys.
Well, it's an honor to have you on here, Leroy. And last year, I know when we talked to you, you were overwhelmed to be among the semifinalists. So this year, you're back as a second-time semifinalist. As surprised as you were last year, or as elated as you were last year?
Oh, that's a good question. I think this year, I'm more elated, because last year, I didn't get a chance to enjoy it. I think I was just caught up on trying to be a finalist. I really didn't get a chance to say, you know what, it's a lot of great players on this particular list, and just to be one of the 25 is remarkable, and I need to celebrate that. So I now I get a chance to enjoy it. Hopefully I can be a finalist one day, but at the same time, for the next few weeks, it feels really good.
Well, as most Packers fans know, and actually most football fans should know, you're in the Packers Hall of Fame. I think you were chosen in 2007. And now you're up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But someone you know and someone you played with, that would be Hall of Famer Brett Favre. He was on our program once telling us that, you know what, the Hall really isn't all that important to me. It's just icing on the cake to my career. So how about you? How significant is this to you, and what would it mean to you to make it to Canton?
I think it would be the pinnacle of my life. I mean, this is what I wanted to do my whole career. You know, I'm African-American from the inner city, single parent, growing up disabled. This would be everything. I mean, everybody plays for a championship. But I think deep down inside, only a few people get a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. It would mean everything to me. Matter of fact, it was something me and my mom talked about, I think my seventh year in the league. And she said, well, you have to win a championship first. Everything else will take care of itself. So it would mean the world to me. Matter of fact, it would be the one thing on your bucket list is just that. It's just the Hall of Fame. There's nothing else on my bucket list. It's just the Hall of Fame.
Leroy, there are only nine pure safeties enshrined in the Hall, as you know. Can enshrine the ninth one last year in Brian Dawkin. My question to you is this. Is there enough room in the Hall for two safeties from the city of Jacksonville?
Absolutely. I don't mind being number two. I love Brian Dawkin. As a matter of fact, when he got in, it felt like I got in. I love the guy, everything he stood for. I love the way he played the game. Because I really felt like the more people like Brian to get an opportunity would bring more light to me. But I think how I separate myself is I'm a selfish guy in a way, but I think that makes me unselfish, especially at the safety position. So anytime a safety goes in, just like Kenny Easley going in, to me, it makes me get a step closer.
Yeah. You know, some people may not know this, but you invented the Lambeau Leap. Shouldn't that qualify you for discussion, given how much it's changed touchdown celebrations in Green Bay and everywhere?
Yeah.
I think that's a fantastic question, probably the best one I've ever been asked all day. I think it shows that I played for one team, in my opinion, the best fan base, and that I think I proved that the crappy seats are the 50-yard line seats, not the north and south end zone. You got to get in those end zone seats. Until then, nobody wanted to sit in the end zone. So just that alone, I should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's perfect. Now, we tell guys like yourself all the time, Leroy, that you have to be patient. You know, it's a long process, blah, blah, blah. Only 1% of the players get in. Now, you've waited 12 years just to be before you finally became a semifinalist. How difficult is it to remain patient and listen to that kind of advice without, you know, jumping over the table and saying, no, you be patient. I want to get in.
Yeah, I understand that. And I understand also that it's a process that I think it's a privilege just to be talked about. Do you know how many players have ever played this game? So to even be a semifinalist to me is remarkable. And I know, trust me, I get it. I see guys, you know, you compare guys against each other, look at numbers. But for me, I always thought eventually that if I ever get talked about, I think I have a chance. Because I did something not a lot of safeties would do, and that was cover people. I covered tight ends, running back to wide receivers. Not a lot of safeties did that. But until I can get in that room to have that discussion, they'll say, well, he's just another good safety, but not great.
One thing I always found fascinating about you, and probably a lot of our listeners around the country don't know this, but a part of your childhood was spent overcoming some difficult physical problems with your legs. Your legs were in braces, and I believe for a while you were in a wheelchair undergoing some therapy. Can you tell us a little bit about that and just how far a trip it's been from that kid to being a guy talked about in the Hall of Fame?
I really appreciate you asking that because my mom was a single parent. I was 4 years old. Matter of fact, I had the same braces as Forrest Gump. I was Forrest Gump before Tom Hanks. And I told my mom, sitting in a wheelchair, I said, Mom, I want to play in the NFL and get you out of the projects. And she told me I can do whatever I want to do, be whatever I want to be. But she said, be a leader, not a follower. We were in one of the poorest places in Jacksonville, Florida, poverty-stricken. I was in special education, couldn't read. Kids picked on me for not having new clothes. And I used to tell kids all the time, listen, all you guys are going to want my autographs, but I'm going to be famous one day. And I thought, meeting Bobby Bowden, to me, was the biggest thing of my life. When I went to college, he was bigger than life. And I remember Coach Bobby Bowden saying to me, you can play in the NFL. And after that, my life has been something remarkable for any kid out there to say you're too small or you can't do something because you don't have both of your parents. I have something called the Butler versus Bullying campaign to teach kids if you're bullied like I was, it doesn't matter. You just put your blinders on, you concentrate on being a leader, and eventually, God is good and you'll get your opportunity. And that's all I thought about my whole life was playing in the NFL to get my mom out of the projects.
Lamar, just wondering, if you were Forrest Gump before Tom Hanks, how come you weren't up for an Oscar?
I know, right? What is going on? But you know what, though? You know what? The Hall of Fame will be my Oscar.
There you go. There you go. Well, I want you to talk about that if you could, because if you look at this list, I'm sure you have, there are eight defensive backs and five safeties among the semifinalists. And I'm going to give you this chance to really make a case for yourself. Maybe we did a year ago, but I want to give you a chance right now to make a case for yourself and ask you this. If you were standing in front of voters like us today, what would you tell them to convince them to give your candidacy a chance to be heard in Atlanta?
I would say, well, this guy was here before Brett Favre. He was here before Reggie White. He was here before Mike Holmgren and Ron Wolf. So he saw the good and the bad. He had four or five different coaches, coordinators, but he would play good through all the ups and downs. And again, when I played safety, if it was a team that had a tight end, if a coach went up to my defensive coach went up and said, we're going to play cover two and let the tight end be covered by a linebacker, I would get up in that classroom and say, no, that's my guy. If it was a good running back, I want to cover him. If it was a third down receiver in the slot, I want to cover him. And I never backed out from challenges. And I played the position under 6 feet, under 200 pounds, but played as if I was taller and bigger than anybody. And I just don't want people to think in the 90s it was just Brett Favre and Reggie White. It was one more player on that team that was significant of bringing the Packers back from 30 years of misery of not going to the Super Bowl when they won the first two Super Bowls and going again in 1996 and 97.
Lamar, you talked about interceptions. You had 38 in your career. What was your favorite interception?
Oh, I got that easy. It was this. At home, playing against San Diego. I don't want to call out the quarterback's name, but I intercepted the pass, went 90 yards, and I was running the last 50 yards. I say, so this is what it's like to be a receiver. Man, I'm playing the wrong position. I'll never forget that. I'll never, ever, ever forget that. I said that to myself. So this is what it's like playing wide receiver. Man, I'm playing the wrong position. I had so much fun with it.
Speaking of that and wide receivers, what do you make of today's game? We were just making fun of it on the show. You know, guys completing 96% of their passes in a game, and a night later, the guy nearly breaks his that record 24 hours later. I mean, what do you make of it when you watch the game today?
You know, I'm so glad somebody asked me this, because I tweeted after the Rams, when the Rams played Kansas City, I want to throw up when two teams are in the 50s. You know, I love what Phillip Rivers did, you know, connecting on this first 25, but where is the defense? And you have to understand that you can't be a hitter anymore. You have to be a tackler. And it just, to me, it's just so far afield between the defenses of the 90s, the Dallas Cowboys, the San Francisco, even our defense in the 90s, the number one defense. You just don't see that anymore. It's a pass-happy league, and quarterbacks put up these fantasy numbers every week. And I'm the only guy in the room saying, where's the defense? And everybody looks at me like, shut up. We want to see more points.
Yeah, because they're all rooting for their fantasy football players, right?
There you go. That's exactly right. I would love to see more defense.
So would we. I mean, you look at, and we were talking about this earlier, you know, that Phillip Rivers, he missed, what, one pass, right? The week before,
amazing.
Eli Manning missed what, one pass. He was 17 of 18. And then this Monday, Marcus Mariota misses what, one pass. I mean, three times in the last 2 weeks, quarterbacks have missed one pass in one game. I would have said, you know, years ago, that's astounding. Now it's commonplace. It's not unusual. It's commonplace.
It really is. And I think that we've always said in the OTAs and the offseason, the offense is normally ahead of the defense. But in training camp, the defenses are starting to catch up. But even when you hire coaches, the defensive-minded coaches don't get the jobs anymore. It's the offensive-minded coaches to see can you outscore people every week. But ultimately, if you want to win a Super Bowl or play in a Super Bowl, you got to play great defense in December. And I think that's when you'll start to see these teams separate themselves. Why do you think people love the Chicago Bears? Their defense scores touchdowns, and they got Khalil Mack, and they're in first place. That's not a mistake. They're in first place with that good defense.
We've only got about 30 seconds here. Quick question. What is harder, playing defense in today's NFL or waiting on that call from Canton?
Oh, waiting on that call. I do know this. One day it will ring, and I'm going to answer it on the first ring.
I hope so. Lori, thanks so much for the time, and good luck waiting for that call. We hope you get it.
I really appreciate it, guys. I can't thank you guys enough for giving me the platform. Thanks so much.
That was former Packers safety Lori Butler, 2019 semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Up next, the 2-Minute Drill. You're listening to the Talk of Fame Network.